copy of God's Word and open to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 18. Luke, chapter 18. Again, this morning, we want to talk to you on the subject of prayer, transformed by prayer. Luke, chapter 18. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears along with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not, as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven and beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. You may be seated. The last couple of weeks we talked about transformed by prayer. We have discussed and brought to your attention, first of all, the admonition to pray. That we are to pray, we are to pray connectively, that we are to pray in everything, as Paul writes in Philippians chapter 4. He said, in everything by prayer and supplications, and sometimes there's this disconnect, that there's just some things we just don't pray about because we're not sure if God's even interested. But I will assure you that he is interested, and we are to pray about everything. We are to pray continuously. We are to pray confidently. We are to pray consistently. And then we talked about last week the approach to prayer. We talked about the approach of humility in prayer. We talked about to avoid hypocrisy when we approach prayer, as found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 through 15. And we are to have expectancy in prayer, knowing that when we pray according to his will, he hears us. And this morning, I want to talk to you further about this topic of prayer and the attitude in prayer. You see, we have to understand there's power in prayer. Amen. Some of us understand that. Some of us have experienced that. Some of us realize that there's power in prayer. I have to understand, prayer moves the hand that moves the world. Amen. And I think the person that said it rightfully said, prayer moves the hand that moves the world. Another person said that prayer is the only omnipotence God grants to us. Think about that. An omnipotent God who's all-powerful, all-knowing, grants to us access to his throne. He says, cast your care upon me because I care for you. John writes, he says, if we pray and ask anything in his name, we know that he hears us. Who? This God of the universe, this omnipotent God, hears us. We also understand, and we really didn't touch much on it last week and in the passage of Philippians chapter 4, but we also understand that there is peace through prayer. Because he says, be anxious for nothing. Anybody ever get anxious? You ever get anxious about circumstances? You ever get anxious about your situation that you find yourself in? But he said, but everything by prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. And he says, and the God of peace, he'll give you this peace that passeth all understanding. And this peace that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. Amen. So with that understanding, let me just give you this, and if you have a chance, you can write it down. It'll be on the screens. A person of prayer will experience the power of prayer as they are persistent in prayer with their petitions in prayer in their place of prayer and will experience the peace of God through prayer. A person of prayer will experience the power of prayer as they are persistent in prayer, with their petitions in prayer, in their place of prayer, and will experience the peace of God through prayer. It's no accident that in Philippians, when he says, be anxious for nothing, and he concludes that little portion, that next verse, with the peace of God. When you have the peace of God, you're not going to be anxious. And if you're anxious, it's because perhaps you haven't prayed enough. Because he says if we pray everything by prayer and supplication, that the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's pretty awesome if you ask me. So when we talk about this approach to prayer, we talked about this approach to prayer, now we're talking about the attitude of prayer, and Jesus is speaking here. Now, he's just talked about his second coming. He talked about when he would come again. That's the reason why in verse number 8, when he says when he comes, will he find really, really find faith on earth? Because it's really connecting back up to the parousia that he's talking about in the previous chapter. But as Luke writes in this section, as we identify it as chapter 18, Jesus is speaking and Luke prefaces what he's about to talk about in the parable. He said, then he spoke a parable to them. Notice what he said, that men always ought to pray. That men always ought to pray. We are admonished to pray. Once again. Now, Jesus is talking about this now. Luke is setting this up, and he says, and not lose heart. Because sometimes in our prayer life, we lose heart, do we not? Now, there's a few exceptions to the rule, but I'm sure if you've walked with the Lord and you've lived much of life, somewhere along the journey, that it just seemed that the valley was so deep and the night was so dark that you just didn't see any hope. And here, Luke sets this up. He said that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. He's stressing the point that there is hope, and in this hope, there needs to be a persistency in our life, a prayer. Persistency is different than consistency. Our grandson, Grayson, was in town last week, and he always lets you know when he's in town. I promise you. But one of the things, I walked out of our bedroom, was walking across the living room, and Brenda goes, this boy is about to wear me out. If he has said Grandma once, he has said Grandma 1,000 times. Grandma this, Grandma that, Grandma this, Grandma hi, Grandma I love you, Grandma what is this, Grandma what is that, Grandma. The boy was persistent in getting her attention. I mean, and to the point where she finally told him, she said, Grayson, I'm changing my name. And he looks at her and says, well, Grandma, what is it? And she says, I'm not telling you because you'll start calling me time and time and time again. The boy's persistent. And if you know who his dad is, you'll understand why. Not going to mention any names, Aaron. Just so you know, I'm not going to tell him that you're his dad, all right? But persistence. You know, when Peter writes, he's casting our care upon him, for he cares for us. We should not shrink back in the midst of our difficulties, in the midst of our circumstances, from praying and making our petitions and our requests known to God. And Jesus talks about this when he talks about this widow. And he says, there was a judge who didn't regard God, nor regarded man. He didn't fear God. He didn't regard man. And this widow kept going to him and saying, avenge me. Get me justice. Avenge me of my adversaries. You ever feel like you've been attacked and you go to the Lord in prayer and it just doesn't seem like things are happening quick enough? I've been there. And this parable, now a parable, understand, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. So Jesus is driving a point here. And he says she goes and she consistently goes to this judge. And finally this judge, who does not fear God, doesn't regard man, says, you know what? I'm going to get her justice, lest she weary me. Have you ever made this statement to a child or to somebody and said, you sure are pestering me? Or would you quit pestering me? Because they're just constantly doing something, you know? Maybe you parents have been said something like this. Hudson, quit pestering your brother. I know we have. Because they're just persistent, just pestering, you know, just constantly, constantly, constantly. Just persistent at it until they get an answer, get the rise out of them. Maybe you understand it this way as a husband and wife. She sure knows how to push my buttons. You know, when we talk about persistence, Jesus is talking about this woman. She just kept going back to the judge, kept going back to the judge, kept going back to the judge. And then he says, this is an unjust judge. That's how Jesus described this judge. He was an unjust judge. And yet, because of her persistency, he granted her request. So get the picture. He's unjust, and because of her persistency, he granted her request. Now, Jesus is drawing a contrast between the unjust judge and God. Notice what he says. He says in verse 5, he says, yet because the widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming to me she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust said. He said, listen to what he said. And then he contrasts, he says, and shall God not avenge his own elect? If this unjust judge will avenge this woman, who he really doesn't care about, has no regard for mankind, doesn't fear God, and yet he will avenge her because she's persistent, he says, won't God avenge his own elect? Doesn't God care for his own who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? He's asking, he said, don't lose heart. God loves his people. If you're God's child, he cares about if you're not a Christian, if you're not a child of God, if you've never placed your faith and trust in Christ, listen to me. He still cares about you to the extent that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. And Jesus here talking, he says, will he not avenge his own? And then he goes on, he says, I tell you this, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. He will avenge his own. And he'll do it speedily. Now understand, the speedily is according to his will, not according to yours. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? One of these days, Jesus is coming again. And if Jesus was to come back today, would he find in our lives that we have been faithful and had faith in what he would do in our life because he cares for his own? Have we bought into and understand that we, as followers of Christ, that we ought to pray always and not lose heart because he cares for us? So the first parable we see is a parable of persistence. The second one that we see is a parable of pride, prejudice, and pardon. Notice what he says. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Now, right there is your pride and prejudice. See, that's the original pride and prejudice, all right? Two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Just put out there a deacon in a Baptist church. I mean, that's enough. We would say, hey, he qualifies. He's a religious man. He does all the right things. Yet his attitude in prayer was all wrong. We have to be careful then that we don't get puffed up with spiritual pride. That we don't look at ourselves better than somebody else. We say, well, preacher, I don't think I do that. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever said this or heard somebody say this? I wish old so-and-so had been there to hear that sermon. They really needed that. Think about that statement. Oh, so-and-so sure could use that. We have to be careful. Because this Pharisee, who was the religious crowd? He was the churchgoer. He went to the synagogue. He even prayed, right here. He's praying to God. But his attitude stunk. It was rotten to the core. Because, God, I thank you that I'm not as these other people, extortioners, adulterers. You know, we're real good about calling everybody else's sin out, aren't we? Amen. Yeah, you know, there's certain things I can preach on, and I know I'm going to get a lot of amens because you're not guilty of it. And you probably know some people who are. You're thinking, amen, get them, preacher. Be careful. Let pride slip in. And we find ourselves just like this Pharisee saying, boy, I'm glad I'm not like them. And just by way of note, to remind you, the same blood had to be shed to save you as it took to save them. Amen. The same forgiveness had to be offered to you as it has to be offered to them. Be redeemed. And the this Pharisee, he stood, I think that I'm not as other men are. And he starts going down the list, and then he says, or even as this tax collector. The King James says publican. In the Greek, it's the same word. You see, the tax collectors of the day, they would go around and they would hire people to even do their dirty work. And they were not viewed on the higher end of the social scale of somebody you want to embrace and somebody you want to be friends with. Oftentimes, they were considered to be greedy. And because of the way the structure at the time, when they would collect taxes, it was easy to abuse and take advantage of people. So they were not very well liked. So even, he wasn't just pointing out the fact he's a tax collector. He had disdain for this person as well. Because of his occupation. He said, even as this tax collector. So you see the pride and the prejudice, but here's what we really ought to focus in is on the pardon that's taking place here, because here's what happens. Notice the position of the tax collector. It says, first of all, it said the tax collector stood afar off. In other words, he viewed himself not really even being worthy to really come as close as the Pharisee was. And then it went on to say he wouldn't as much as lift his eyes to heaven because he knew the state he was in. And then it said he smote himself on the breast as if to say, dear God, help. Then he prayed this prayer. He said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Certainly a statement of humility. A statement of acknowledging of where he was and who he was and understanding that he did not deserve God's redemption, but he's asking for God's mercy to be upon him and to forgive him. And here's the point Jesus was driving home. He said it was this man that went down to his house justified. He went down to his house justified. I mentioned last week about a conversation I had with a friend of mine about praying the sinner's prayer. And I will tell you, in some circles, there's a debate that goes on whether or not a person is saved by a simple prayer or not. Well, you're saved by the blood of Christ. Let's just put that in place. And in this salvation that we have, we are justified. We are made just as if we had never sinned. And let me tell you something, though. If you really look at the heart, it's really kind of an arrogant statement to think, I don't need to pray, I just need to commit. Wait. If we really understand who we are and the depths of our sin and the righteousness and holiness of God, we would fall on our face before God and call out to God and pray and call upon him. As Romans says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We would humble ourselves. It wouldn't matter if it was a prayer. We would fall on our face before God in humility. And that's the point Jesus is driving home. I think it's rather arrogant to even have that debate. Because of God's love for us. It shouldn't matter to us whatever it takes. If I need to pray, whatever it is, I don't care. I need Jesus. Amen. This tax collector in this parable, as Jesus is sharing, he's driving home the point. He knows exactly where he is. He knows exactly what he's done. He knows exactly what is needed. He knows that the only person that can make a difference in his life is God. Amen. said, this man went down to his house justified, not the other. Not the one of pride and prejudice, but the one who received pardon because of humility, and he called out to God. Amen. Our attitude of prayer. We need to be one of persistence, that we don't lose heart, that we continually go to God and ask God. He loves us. He loves to hear from us. We need to kind of take the attitude of Jacob when he wrestled with that man all night in Genesis 32, where he says, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. Amen. Sometimes we give up way too easy. And let me just say, by way, just as a sidebar, prayers don't have to be colorful or long. This prayer was 7 words. 7 words for him to go down to his house justified. 7. Yesterday in the men's prayer breakfast, Kobe brought a devotion about the storms. When the boat was out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee and Jesus, the storm rose and Jesus started walking to them on the water, and Peter said, Lord, if it's you, come. Bid me come to you. And he said, come. And Peter stepped out of the boat. But when he saw his circumstances, he began to sink. You could say he lost heart. He said, when he saw the winds were boisterous and he prayed, he called out to Christ. 3 words. Lord, save me. What happened? What did Jesus say? He said, I tell you, he will avenge you speedily. Speedily, Jesus reached out and saved Peter. See, that ought to be encouraged for some of you who say, I just don't know what to say. You don't have to say a whole lot. Some of you in your prayer life, you have no problem. It just, the words flow, and you know that God's hearing you, and there's some others that they don't know what to say. Listen to me. It doesn't matter if you pray 10 words or if you pray 100 words. It starts with the attitude in prayer. Don't lose heart. Be transformed by prayer. Luke said Jesus shared these parables with the understanding that all men ought to pray with heads bowed and eyes closed.